listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
While the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed belong solely to the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of NASP, the NASP podcast gives our corporate members the opportunity to share their insights, perspectives, and experiences.
You're listening to the NASP podcast. This specialty pharmacy podcast is a collaboration with the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy and the Pharmacy Podcast Network. The mission of the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy is to improve specialty pharmacy practice by promoting continuing professional education and certification of specialty pharmacists while advocating for public policies that ensure patient access to specialty medications. As the healthcare industry's leading podcast dedicated to the pharmacy profession, the Pharmacy Podcast Network is proud to bring our listeners the NASP podcast, in collaboration with the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy.
Hello, my name is Sheila Arquette, and I'm the president and CEO of the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy. I'm delighted to welcome a very special guest, Carl Mazzanti, to this episode of the NASP podcast. Carl is co-founder and president of eMazzanti Technologies, Microsoft's four-time Partner of the Year, and one of the premier IT consulting services for businesses throughout the New York metropolitan area and internationally. Carl and his company manage over 400 active accounts, ranging from specialty pharmacies to high-end global retailers. Carl, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Sheila, for having me.
So to get started, what are we talking about when we say AI?
AI, or artificial intelligence, is really the current marketing word around the culmination of machine learning, which is using computers to look at decisions and advise what they think someone's going to do, and the amount of data that's available on the planet. So before, let's say, 2023, if you looked at machine learning, which has been around for a long time, it could, you know, in your own pharmacy today, it could be doing that, or in your own manufacturing line, or just when you were using Amazon, if you did certain behaviors, they would expect you to predictively do something. And machines or computers could predict some of those items. Then step in automation, which is, well, now if we think those things are going to, are you were potentially going to do X, Y, or Z, well, rather than wait for you to do that, we could start to automate the behavior because it fit your company missions or values, or you had said, hey, if this scenario shows up, then follow these steps. And that was automation. The AI, the meaning for us is that not only does it know what we would typically like to do or perform and then do some automation there, but it now has access to the world's collective knowledge, and it could use that collective knowledge to make a more informed decision autonomously. So step in the marketers using artificial intelligence as that item to be able to make its own decisions with the data and education or how we've taught it in the past.
Wow. So what are some of the benefits of using AI? You know, when I think of a specialty pharmacy from your from your perspective.
The top place to focus on is where you either have constraints on people. So all of us have a constraint with people. We're constantly trying to hire people. There's others who've called out sick. Oh my God, coming out of COVID, and I can't even believe that's still a thing. There's people getting flu and fevers, and they call out sick. Or anytime you've got a people constraint or some resource constraint, the application of artificial intelligence is quite beneficial. In that same concept, technology is the anti-inflation, where we've seen cost and prices increase quite rapidly over the last 2 years. Technology is absolutely the anti-inflation in that if you could do more with less, more with less people, more with less resources, more with less time, your costing drops because you don't have to consume as much to produce the same amount of output. So AI for what you'll see in 2024, 25, and then really beyond is what should be a reduction in costing for everyone because the amount of resources that's required to produce the same output will be less.
So how does eMazanti deploy AI and help members of the NASP community?
One of the first things we do is we listen to our customers, right? It's like today's podcast where we're just having an open dialogue. We ask you about, what's new in your organization for the year. And while we're listening to the dialogue from a customer, which it could be, I want to drive sales. I want to figure out a way to increase our sales. Or the next one could be, I have to increase my productivity. You know, my facility is maxed out. I can't put any more people in here. I can't afford to hire more people in accounting or sales or some other area. So I need to get more productivity out of them. Or it could be reduced costs. You know, my costs as a manufacturer have gone through the roof. My market will only bear what I'm currently putting in front of them. We're already discounting. So I need to find a way to reduce my costs. And it's typically one of those three goals that a customer has. And once they list out what that goal is, so if, let's say it's drive revenue, maybe it's recommending, you know, we apply some AI to recommend other things that would pair well with what the customer already needs. Or maybe it's to increase the productivity. So maybe the AI tool could start writing out business plans or call scripts, or it'll start taking our educational material and speeding up the time it takes to get a new hire from the day they walk into being productive for the organization. I mean, there's just so many applications available for the use of AI in specialty pharmacies.
So with all of those different uses, and then keeping in mind, you know, all of that, the regulations, the compliance requirements, yep. HIPAA, what's the best practice to deploy AI securely?
Okay, so this one is the most complicated question to cover for so many different customers, and especially in a regulated industry, because it's about protecting your data set. Many of the public and open available AI tools today say in all of their statements, whatever you feed it is their collective knowledge to use going forward. So let's step in. Either we could build out and run the AI in your own environment, in your own servers, with your own data sets, and it's not for anyone else to use. PricewaterhouseCoopers, by the way, did that. They created PwC Chat. It's mm-hmm. their own AI engine. It's only for PwC, and it's only for their organization, and they're not using any publicly available AI tools. They're using their own platform to protect their own data. The most of us, and including a lot of the NASP members, will have to use someone else's. So in this case, I think that Microsoft's Copilot is probably going to be the answer for many on this podcast, because Microsoft has put a moat around your data so that when you're using SharePoint, OneDrive, your email, it's learning about your organization, but it's not exposing the education that it's getting to anybody else. It's okay. Not giving your data out so that it could reference that data set in a response for someone else. It's only referencing your own data set and the publicly available data sets in the response. So my recommendation for NASP members, you know, kind of for the best practice to secure your data is either you have to deploy this on your own servers, in your own environment, with your own data, and you build a silo of machine learning and automation for your own business that's not accessible by anybody else. Or the other standpoint is you need to select someone, something like Microsoft Copilot that uses your data where it is currently on Microsoft's cloud, and you rely on their data protection policies and rules so your data doesn't leak out.
So in addition to Microsoft Copilot, if you're, you know, if you're not able to build your own, what are some of the best options of AI platforms that are available?
Well, everyone's spinning up a different one. So, and every day there's like 100 or 1,000 tools that are coming out. So I believe shortly you'll see that Adobe will offer this for marketing departments and people using the Adobe Creative Suite or digital signatures. I think you'll see them start to layer in AI with the data sets in the tools that you're using. We're already seeing, I mean, Google's like on their second or third different option. They're quite far behind Microsoft and the rest of the world in their releases. So while Bard was a failure up front, they've launched another product that's a little bit better. Maybe this one will work. Maybe it won't. I mean, they're trying to keep up. I expect that you'll see the McKessons and Clinical Works and all these other ones that are out there start to layer AI into their software sets, whether it's manufacturing tools or the like. So I don't think there's... This ship has sailed. It's literally like we've invented or we're at the birth of the internet. AI today is the same thing. I mean, what tools will come out, what options will be available are literally changing by the minutes and the hours. Some of the larger organizations, I think, will weather the storm. But there are some really, really good competitors that you've never heard of before that are making waves, just like OpenAI 4 or 5 years ago was nothing. And now they're worth hundreds of billions of dollars.
Oh. Awesome. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners, you know, things that they should know, or you know, pitfalls, common pitfalls to avoid when we're talking about AI?
So everyone takes this kind of concept that, oh, I use ChatGPT, so I know what AI is, and I tried that once, and maybe that's enough. I mean, again, it's like the internet. When I used to meet people 23 years ago when I started the organization, I was trying to sell them modems and, hey, you need to be on the internet you know, you can search and find information. And someone would say, oh, I love books, or, you know, I read the newspaper. That's where I get my news. I don't want to get it from a computer. I want the piece of paper in my hand. And, you know, and it's been so many years of going through those objections, but people have adopted the fact that on their cell phone, they'll deliver the news to them. You don't have to go buy that piece of paper anymore. Well, the same concept exists for artificial intelligence. If you're going to go write something, you don't have to write it anymore. You can have a computer, you can give a computer a prompt with the concepts that you want, and it'll deliver it to you. So like jobs I think are super at risk are the secretaries or assistants that are out there. Like you've got assistants in your job title, you're at risk. Like you need to start figuring out having to move into some of the managerial roles or into digital transformation or some other role that does automation or applies these tools in the organization. Those are the ones that they're going to want to hire, promote, or I think will advance in the organization. I mean, we could talk about that topic for so long, but the application of artificial intelligence in a specialty retailer or pharmacy or manufacturer, any of the ones that make up the NASP community, helping align where you could automate, reduce cost, drive revenue, and then actually executing on that is going to be the defining moment on who's going to be successful, who's getting the raises, promotions, bonuses throughout the organization.
So when we talk about healthcare, what other, I know you said like administrative type roles, what other roles do you think are at risk?
I think everyone on this listening to this could say there are things that they do every day that are comfortable because we've been doing it for a long time, but it also kind of sucks, right? Like who wants to do the same thing over and over and over and over again and get kind of the same result? So step in AI. I would start automating the hell out of everything you do during the course of the day because you'd never need to do that any longer. Like, and you deserve to go to the beach. You deserve to go skiing or whatever else, right? I mean, use the free time to go spend some time with your family. Take a longer lunch because the task that was being asked for you, that the expectation is it takes 6 hours. If you get it done in 15 minutes or 30 minutes, take the rest of the time to go do something else. And I think that's going to be the reality of what's happening for a lot of the workforce. I think the some of the tasks that you used to do on a regular basis, you won't need to any longer. You don't need to manually. So like the roles of manual data entry, I think those are going to evaporate. I think the I needed to input data on a regular basis, I think that's going to be gone too. The there's so many automation opportunities that I think everyone who's listening to this just has to say what's the most painful thing that you do on a weekly basis that you would never want to do anymore. And I'm choosing something that's really painful because if you choose something that's really painful, you're motivated to see it gone.
Right.
And then it'll free up your time. Like you'll get those hours back where you don't need to do that any longer. I'm a computer guy. So, right. I'm aware when I talk to my dad, right. You know, my mom and dad are now entering their 80s. I can't even believe that, but they like to sit in front of a computer and run an update. And then they sit there and they watch it go across the screen. And my firm for 40 cents a day can automate the hell out of that. So you'd never have to do that ever again. You never have to worry about in your organization running patches. It's just run. We regression test it. We know it's not going to break anything. We could schedule the reboots of the machine so they're fresh. The automation doesn't need to be this thing that's producing or writing content for you. Mm-hmm. It can be just it takes a task that you do on a regular basis and makes it so you don't have to do that anymore. And it can imply intelligence here, which is, I have Sheila on the phone. She's the president and CEO of the organization. And why should she be sitting there watching this thing patch? Why can't we apply some intelligence to see when is the computer typically made available or sitting idle? Like you go to bed on Friday night or you've got date nights every Wednesday. Let's apply all the patches during that day. Let's reboot the computer and bring it back up again. So the moment you sit down again, everything is just running the way it was. And you don't even know the computer is in a better state than it was before you left.
Right. That's awesome.
It is. And it's super available. That those things that I described, a lot of those we've been doing for 10 or more years. Those automation components have existed for a long time. And before it was called machine learning. Now we've got like a larger data set. I can see, do you have like things scheduled out on your calendar where, well, hey, I'm not going to reboot your machine in the middle of your Zoom meeting or Microsoft Teams. I won't apply the patches during that time frame because guess what? You're in a meeting. It's super important. I can avoid those, and being able to apply a larger amount of data sets allows us to improve the customer experience for all.
So do you think most folks know that this is readily available and that this is something that they should be looking into to simplify their lives, right? And take away those tasks that we really don't like?
Well, I'll say everyone who's listening to this podcast is in a better position than everybody else because it's such a low percentage. When ChatGPT first came out, it was a lot of the news. I mean, it was like in every newspaper, magazine. I mean, it just, if you look at ChatGPT, ChatGPT went to 100 million subscribers in 2 months.
Wow.
It took Uber 2 years to get there. You know, if you looked at Instagram, it was over a year for Instagram. I mean, if you take some of these items that we think are really common, you know, it took them a very long time to get up to 100 million subscribers. ChatGPT is over a billion users now. You know, Facebook, it took them 5, 10, 12 years to get to a billion subscribers. So the wave is here, and it's not going back into the box. You have President of the United States, Joe Biden, writing rules. You have rules being written by the European Union about how they're going to protect consumer data and the information that's publicly out there and the right to be forgotten. Like I said, people right now, when they go into the publicly available tools, it says all over it, whatever you feed it is now in the public domain forever. Mm-hmm. So you have to engage people like Emazanti Technologies or Microsoft or some of these others to help you figure out what you're going to do to put a moat around your data and what things you want to expose and which ones you don't. And to do that securely.
Yeah. So Carl, people want to get in touch with you. How do they do that?
Email is kind of always the best. So cmazanti@emazanti.net. which is C like Carl, my first name, the Mazanti, my last name, Mazzanti. And then at E for electronic, because we're around 2000, everything was an E business. So we chose E for in front of E Mazanti, and then Mazanti, my last name. So Mazzanti.net. Otherwise, you could always call me. I mean, literally the only reason why I don't answer is if I'm sleeping or I'm with another customer, and that would be 844-360-4400. And my extension's been 4410 now for 23 years. And like I said, I'll answer that anytime, day or night, as long as I'm not sleeping.
Awesome. One last question for you, Carl. Like crystal ball, looking at 2024, what should we be... what should we be on the lookout for?
Well, I think hiring is going to really, really slow down or drop or be non-existent, because as we start to deploy these tools, we're already seeing anti-deflation. We're already seeing interest rates drop. We're already seeing prices start to decline back to levels that they were in 2019. Where we had these huge price jumps for 22 and 23, even just in the last couple of days or month, we're starting to see prices roll back 3 or 4 years. I think salaries are gonna hold flat. Microsoft announced across 300,000 or 400,000 employees, they were not going to give any raises whatsoever across the entire organization. I think some salaries are going to stay flat. Mm-hmm. I do think that some of the tasks that you do every day are gone. You know, you should be able to automate them. And if others in your organization are not asking you to apply AI to the things you do every day, know that's coming down the road, that there needs to be some sort of automation. And if you're an early adopter, not only can you get a lot more free time back into your life, so you can spend that with your family, the beach, snowboarding, skiing, whatever your passions or joy are, but it will allow you to be an agent of change for the organization. And you know, surround yourselves by some other like-minded folks that have either already done this or that can speed up the process or help protect you along the way.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Carl, for chatting with me and for sharing all this valuable information.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Sure. As a reminder, NASP corporate members are invited to be my guest on one complimentary podcast per year. For more information on this or other NASP membership benefits and events, please feel free to reach out to info@naspnet.org or visit our website, www.naspnet.org. Until next time. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the NASP podcast. Be sure to share this podcast with your fellow pharmacists, doctors, and healthcare providers dedicated to optimal patient care. If you have ideas for future episode topics, please email the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Send your message to publisher@pharmacypodcast.com.